Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. As many folks no doubt know, we spent this last Sunday doing another amazing kickoff video event with Sherry and Ashwini, kicking off the 2018 practice year. And tempting as it is, we're not going to give away any of the details of what happened for folks who were not able to join us because the link to watch the video is going to be posted, and we'll get more information about that in a minute, I'm sure. But I would really encourage anyone who didn't have a chance to participate with us live to go back and do it because it was really a lovely, lovely workshop and set us up beautifully for what's coming up in 2018. And at the end of the day, we had some great fun announcements about what is coming up in this year of practice in 2018. And we did want to go over the highlights of that. So joining us this evening to do that is Ashwini. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Jen. And hey. I believe that the recording will be posted by the end of the day today or tomorrow morning. So
excellent.
It's already available.
Excellent.
I think it'll be on the What's New section of our website or, you know, where on the schedule page where it talks about the kickoff, there's a link to that. Both of those should be live.
In both places. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Great. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really fun. I just found the process, you know, we were led through a series of questions, and it was just really, really powerful and I think perfect for the beginning of any year, but especially what we're looking at for this coming year.
Yeah, well, it was so interesting to me, Jen, when, you know, when you start a new year, it kind of feels momentous and extraordinary as if something ends and something begins, and then you kick off the new thing. And it felt so, one of those ordinary, extraordinary things, right? Because we just finished an extraordinary year of Project Joy, and we had one day, and we kicked off another extraordinary year of practice. And so it didn't feel like all these bells and whistles and all of that. It just felt like extraordinary practice is what we do. And so we just went from one extraordinary practice day to the next extraordinary practice day. It would have been a Monday for the Project Joy show, and instead it ended up being the Sunday. And we had the one day to do another Project Joy exercise. And so to me, that is what was so celebratory. Yeah. It felt like with this particular kickoff that it wasn't such a the themes used to be distinct because we were taking steps in along the way, and the steps were very, very clear. This is what we're going to do next, and this is how that leads to this thing. So we went from deepening practice to being a community, and then from a community to emptying our teacup and all of those various steps. And this just felt like a continuum, which is another step in practice, but just moving forward from where we are in a much more gradual way, which to me is so remarkable.
Yeah, it's so profound what you're saying, Ashwini, and I really had not seen that piece of it that you're laying out, that it really is what I think Project Joy did for all of us is it made that movement that we always talk about in practice where, you know, am I living a life and practice is fitting into my life, you know, and I'm also a mom and I also work and I also do this and I, you know, do all those things and then sometimes I practice. But as a Sangha, more and more what you hear from people is, I can do anything in my life content-wise, and I want the foundation of it to be practice. And so that flipping it to everything in my life can be brought into practice as a process. And that's very, very tricky to do unless, you know, you're able to live at the monastery, which few people can pull that off. But that daily support of Project Joy, I think, is what started to make that extraordinary thing become an ordinary part of our lives.
Yes, exactly. Which, again, I am going to give this part away because that's what we're here to talk about. But that is why the focus of the year is how you do anything is how you do everything. which is to focus on the process of living in the present moment, mm-hmm. rather than, it doesn't matter what I do, right? Now, that's where we are. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, whether I'm talking about, as you said, a practice participation in a particular practice offering, like reflective listening buddies, or I'm practicing in my relationship or practicing with a loved one who's going through a difficult time. It really doesn't matter what I'm doing, but everything, it becomes a practice opportunity. So let's focus on the how. The how you do anything is how you do everything is what is the linchpin principle that assists us to cement what you just said, which is everything is practice. And so how can I train myself to bring a process view to it? And there'll be two separate process views, right? That process of how you do anything is how you do everything, which allows for a very concrete awareness of how the personality or the ego operates in ways that we know and the ways we are not yet aware of, and how that expression of life, which is also form expressing, expresses uniquely, because that's also a how. And so this year, we get to see that through that lens and really train not just to be in the place from which joy is projected or ego is projected, but a recognition of how that translates into action on how we live that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because, you know, you said a minute ago, in a way, you know, we used to, each theme used to build on it, on the next one, and there's a way in which it's sort of a now a continuum. And as you're speaking, I'm seeing how there's a way in which this theme, how I do anything is how I do everything, really does follow from last year, because I project a piece of what happened was that took us all by surprise, the power mm-hmm. of that
yeah.
every single day being on the phone. You know, there was kind of that, whoa, for 365 days, we were sort of jarred out of that everydayness. But the hardest thing in the world, we were just talking about this at the monastery, because we live in the middle of unbelievable privilege. And then the only way conditioned mind can start to take that away from us is to make it, quote, normal. And so I just saw the brilliance in this theme that we're moving into, which I think was one of the things Sherry even articulated as you and she were looking at how and what to offer this coming year, is that the danger that will happen, that it will become ordinary. But with that theme of how I do anything is how I do everything, bring on the ordinary, because that's almost what we want, because that's the portal to the next level of transformation.
Yeah, well, two things dropped in when you said that. Jen, it is true. The theme always grows out of the practice for the last year, but mm-hmm. it feels like it grew out on a much more gradual, it wasn't like a discrete step. It was just a continuous movement into, well, that's what we've been doing, but right. let's make that formal, right? Let's call mm-hmm. what it is mm-hmm. that we're doing. And the mm-hmm. second thing you said about how you do anything is how you do everything is a point that I do want to underline, and it is what Sherry is always encouraging us to look to, which is if we are doing awareness practice, there's a way in which it even practice can become an abstraction, right? And the example we use a lot is comes up in email classes. I think we were looking at this at some point, and someone actually brought it up. So you do a Socratic email class, and you have an experience, and then you write in and report, and then I turned my attention to unconditional love, and everything was fine. And the response from the guide is, wonderful, you can redirect your attention to unconditional love, but does that mean you have resolved the suffering? Have you seen and seen through what causes you to get to those places that you're karmically conditioned to go to? Has that been resolved? Has that been seen through? Has it been embraced in conscious, compassionate awareness before you bypass it into unconditional love? So it's wonderful that we can redirect the attention, but our focus is to, we're not here to create and cling to belief. We're here to pay attention. We're here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer and to drop that and end suffering. So the place you're pointing to is important, that there is one aspect of practice that is redirecting the attention, and there's an aspect of practice that is the resolution of those karmic places that don't actually get brought into awareness. And to have a concrete process, which is what the year is going to be about, to examine all of those places of living as a human being. How do we say goodbyes? What do we think about death? How are we about relationships? The way in which we're going to look at that, which I guess I can talk about it, right? We're going to use the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything workbook in order to work through all of those things. But having that lens of life as a human being with all of these life circumstances, which are content, to look at process in those places forces us to actually look and bring into awareness those places which we might say we're not going to look anymore because I can turn my attention to unconditional love.
Right. And conditioned mind is just as happy as anything to just sit back there in the invisible driver's seat. Yeah.
That's exactly right. So it's, I think, the Musings article where we don't know where we left the shoes. We are present. We are in awareness. We're practicing with all of our sincerity. And what practice is doing is expanding the board that we're looking at so that what's not in awareness can be brought into awareness.
Yes. And we get to that place where what we realize is, I've been sort of not realizing it, but pushed towards a false sense of when's everything going to be done? And when am I going to, now can I just have a break here? And we get to that place where we're never finished. We're not even going for that. It's a process that we're always practicing.
Yes. Which I guess then, you know, given what time we have, I suppose I could say what we're going to do. So the focus of the year is How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. We're going to be using that workbook. If people are listening to this, please don't go out and buy a copy of the book because it is being revised and reprinted. So it'll be a new version of the book, which will be included as part of the year-long retreat. And since Project Joy was so successful, in that way you described, right, Jen, there's a focus. Mm-hmm. Everybody in Sangha has the same focus. Everybody in Sangha calls in and listens to everyone practicing what they're seeing about that focus, what they're inspired by, what challenges them, and then deepening their own practice around it. We're actually going to do it again. So as of March 1st,
again.
As of March 1st, we will be starting up the daily calls, and we'll be going through 292 days of exercises. And we will be sending out, instead of a quote with an assignment, a particular page number from the book with the assignment to do. And then the next day we'll process it with all of Sangha. So it will be exactly the same format, just a different source, I would say, of where the practice focus and the assignments will come from.
And it's fun because for anyone who doesn't have the workbook and hasn't done it, there's all kinds of things we get to do in there. I mean, you can get out your pens and markers and
Don't give it away, Jen, because I think part of the comments were I've avoided that book because it involves me having to be artistic or get out those pens and pencils and papers and really get to looking at content, right?
Yeah. Well, so we're already starting the workshop, right?
Well, and I would say two more things about that. We debated long and hard as to whether or not we wanted to do this again. And we've heard from a whole bunch of people how supportive it is to their practice, and we hope that, and we think that that's going to translate into people signing up and doing this, right? And there are lots of voices that are going to encourage people not to do it because they've already done it, or they did it and didn't do it well last time, or whatever it is. But the encouragement is to do it, because the for those people who, and I can say there were between 70 and 84 people who were consistently on the radio shows over the last year, for all of those people who have consistently been part of the process, it has been truly transformative. And so if you want to, you know, exponentially change your experience of practice, then you should sign up. And so that's just that's just out there.
And watch closely. You know, whatever happens
and watch closely,
because guaranteed, if you look at it, you're going to see that whatever's going on around it is exactly what's going on everywhere in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the second thing we would say is the reason we're going to start it in March is because there is a tremendous opportunity to tackle another piece of karma before that. And we don't want people to be distracted by it. And, of course, Sherry is going to be at her computer 8 hours a day for 28 days in February doing her, writing another book, volumes of guidance on tackling your communication karma, right? I mean, it's truly extraordinary. I think the last email class, I counted the number of pages. It was almost like 500 pages of responses. And so not to miss, it's another one of those intense, fantastic, once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunities to dive deep into a specific content in your life. And communication is the source of everybody's suffering in some way, shape, or form. And so even if you're not doing a daily radio show, I would encourage folks to sign up for the class. It does have a limit. We have to limit it because Sherry can only do so many hours at the computer every day. So if you haven't already and communication is where you suffer, I would say sign up for it. And it's a great preparation for the Project Joy shows that are going to start on the 1st. Not Project Joy, but
we're
going to have to get a synonym for that. How you do anything is how you do everything.
It's just
way too much of a mouthful. Yeah.
And
that doesn't kind of lend itself well to an acronym.
No, it doesn't. but I will say one other thing that I am really finding, and I'll bet I'm not alone in this, is that not having the shows is also putting up a mirror of how powerful the shows have been. So
that's right.
I think that's another benefit, is it puts up another mirror for us.
I can't tell the number of people who've written to me to say, I don't know what to do at noon, or I don't know what to do at 9 o'clock.
Can I call you?
Then I would say one other thing, Jen, just quickly, is, again, it is the 75th birthday year of the guide. And so, again, one other big practice opportunity to mark on your calendars is April 21st, where we're going to do a practice marathon. And we're going to gift Sherry practice. And so just to make sure that everybody has a lot of advance notice around that and signs up to participate in the monks and some of the facilitators creating workshops that Sherry can participate in rather than having her lead the practice all the time. And so it would be a wonderful thing to show up and be there for the guide and wish her a really happy birthday.
Yeah, hopefully people who didn't see it will... we'll watch the video workshop, and it was very moving to me the way she described that, in that you know, a lot of people wanted to do something to honor this person who has been had such an extraordinary impact on our lives. And you know, what she said is, what I love is practice, and so what I want to do on that day is practice. I want to be able to participate, and so I thought that was so beautiful. So really looking forward to
And the other part of that, right, is that in a lot of ways, when you or me or Sherry or anyone else who's offering practices offers practice, it is a part of our practice, but there's something extraordinary which everyone else can attest to when you're doing your practice,
yeah.
Right? And that's part of what the theme for the year is. It's your practice. So you carve out that time for yourself to make it a priority. It's a sacred task to find and be with the intelligence that animates in that intimate and contemplative way. That is what a retreat environment provides, what a practice offering provides. And providing it is one experience of practice. Receiving it is quite another experience of practice. And so that is the gift that we will be offering, Sherry, on the 21st. And so to be able to experience that, I think, the giving of it when we've received it, or the receiving of it when we've given it, is just an experience that we want to be present to.
Well, I'll tell you that I just received it as you gave us the gift of describing it. So there is that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
All right. Thanks so much, Ashwini, for being with us. Thank you for all you do in just countless ways. And thank you for being with us this afternoon.
You too, Jen. Ditto.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Gosho.
Gosho.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Ashwini. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. You almost sound like Michael.
Almost. I keep hoping this voice is going to come back. Each morning I check, and it's not quite there yet.
Are you feeling good, though?
Yeah, I feel fine. I feel fine.
Oh, good. Just the voice is on retreat.
Yes. Yes, still on retreat. And how are you?
Excellent. I just heard all of that. The only thing in that wonderful conversation that didn't get said that I hope will speak a little bit to what happens on the 21st is a reminder that the 18th of April is the International Day of No Self-Hate. So that's the gift that I hope to receive, is that Sangha will take that day really to focus on not allowing any self-hate anywhere near them, and just have a joyful, delightful day. And along those lines, I leave tomorrow morning for a private retreat. I'm going to have several days where I'm not on the phone and not on the computer and that sort of thing, and I'm very much looking forward to it. There was a quote, I don't know where it happened, and I probably said it a dozen times because I love it so much, but I just heard it recently. I wanted to go on a spiritual pilgrimage, so I sat still for 3 days. And, that's my model for my next 3 days.
Yes, yes. No devices, no Wi-Fi, no electricity.
Yep.
Sounds great.
Yep.
Yep, wonderful, wonderful. And I have some announcements here.
All right.
Some of which we have covered. You, Sherry, will guide a Socratic email class on communication from February 1st through 28th. The class will be an opportunity to explore how ego I causes suffering. Mm-hmm. Don't miss the chance to do a deep dive into your communication karma. And if you're already meditating in the morning or you wish to start, why not enjoy the extra boost of meditating with Sangha? Virtual meditation groups are a unique way to receive the support and connection of practicing with Sangha. These conference call meditation sessions include a 30-minute sit followed by a reading. New group times will be added starting February 1st. And for a full schedule of virtual groups, please visit the Virtual Meditation Groups webpage.
Mm-hmm.
And for
never
these...
alone.
Go ahead, Sherry.
We're never alone.
We're never alone. We are never alone.
We never need to practice alone. There's always something going on. Always something to participate in.
Yes, yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can indicate your desire by pressing *6 and then 1. That's how you make guest show. And a focus on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes would be really great. Okay, Sherry, I think we are ready.
All right, me too.
Okay, good. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hi, Michael, Sherry, this is Molly from Denver.
Hey, Molly.
Hi. I am so grateful for the practice. What Ashwini and Jen were talking about earlier about bringing it into your whole life, that has been something that I've been focusing on. And what I'm noticing is that there are certain parts of myself that, how would I say it, that I just have trouble being with. Usually, you know, whether it's anger or sadness, anger definitely harder than sadness. And I just want to call for guidance about doing that in a more compassionate way, because I'm just missing it lately.
So, help me understand. So, sadness arises, and there's a sense of intolerance or that sort of thing?
It's usually more rageful, a part that's experienced trauma, and while I know on a theoretical level that, like, of course there's anger, and of course, just when I feel it somatically and I get that agitation and irritability, it sort of eats me up, and it's, I get really identified with it, and it's hard for me to kind of be the compassionate presence and the awareness with it. Instead, I feel like it sort of kind of takes over. Sounds really judgmental, but I don't know how else to say it.
Uh-huh. No, I don't hear that as judgmental at all. That you're there, you're going along, and then this rage, this anger, this just sweeps in, takes over your being, and you don't have any, it feels like you don't have any choice about that. It's just, it's there, you're not. I would guess then at some point it passes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel like you're back. Is that?
Exactly.
And when you get back, what happens? Do you get, do you feel bad about that? Do you get blamed for it? Get messages that way, or
you know, that's not a particular. That's the next step. That's not the next step. It's more relief, and I am there a little bit for it because I definitely. It's just I don't like this. It doesn't feel good. I wish this would just pass through, and. You know, again, I know that that's not helping, but I'm just not working with it very skillfully. And so once it passes, I'm just relieved. Like, oh, thank goodness.
There are a couple of things about it. One, we are conditioned to believe that everything we, in quotes, feel is somehow authentic. And that's not necessarily true. So, and I'll give you an example of it. So a person feels like there's a part of them who is afraid and anxious and doesn't want to be left. Okay? So what happens is the person having that experience, is their life just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Because, in quotes, that part of them is so anxious and afraid. And when anybody describes that sort of thing to me, I encourage them to consider that that is not, in quotes, a part of them. It's a part of ego. It's a part of the personality. But it's not an authentic experience. It's not present moment legitimate. And the way we can know the difference is if something is, in quotes, real. So you're sad over something, and say, you know, it's a memory of something that happened when you were five, and that memory continues to recur, and you feel sad every time it happens. Well, when you bring, a la the conversation Ashwini and Jen were just having, when you bring that into conscious, compassionate awareness, that issue will be resolved. And that sadness will no longer be there. Now, it might cycle through at some point. It might never cycle through again once it's been resolved. When we have something like that going on and it never gets resolved, no matter how many times we try to understand it or comfort it or reassure or whatever, it never gets resolved, it just stays the same, then we can know that that's because it's ego kind of running a scam. Not kind of, running a scam.
Thank you. I'll have to look more at that. So if I
go ahead.
Oh, I was just trying to see if I understood. So then when that happens again, to look and see if bringing conscious, compassionate awareness has an impact on it.
Yes.
And if it sort of, if there isn't movement or this sort of a melting is the word that I'm thinking of, then maybe just to drop it.
Yeah, be suspicious. So with something like rage, there's a lot of energy with it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Maya, you know, this is an area of expertise for me. And so I would talk about it as wanting to tear down houses with a baseball bat. Okay, and so what I did with that is the equivalent of that. So that's when I took up running and boxing and going to batting cages and anything. I live in the country, so I could chop a lot of wood. Okay, so activities that were so physically demanding that after I did them for a while, that energy was dissipated. And I would do those activities every time that energy would, you know, start revving up. So it never got to that crazy point. Right? But it, and so whatever stories would continue when the energy wasn't there were obviously that, stories designed to put me in that extremely upset / crazed place.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, it was possible to learn not to indulge those stories.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You'll
I
let me know,
I think that's
right?
something I can work with. Yes.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Good. You are so welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Molly. Sherry, I really appreciate that distinction between what is a legitimate, authentic reaction, feeling, experience, and when am I being bamboozled?
Yeah. 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 If something doesn't want to be healed, it's a bamboozle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I've said something to you, and it was really upsetting to you, and I keep apologizing, but you keep being upset.
Right.
Then we can know there's something more going on than, gosh, that hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Sherry, your voice is coming in and out a little bit, and I'm sure it's not your voice, but it's the phone line, and I'll just keep paying attention to it. And,
okay. I don't quite know what to do.
You sound good right now, so that's good. Let's try with the next caller and see how it goes.
Yeah, and keep me posted, Michael.
Okay, I will do that.
All right.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jenny from New Mexico.
Hey, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay,
I think
great.
We came out of your bag.
Okay.
Right?
What's that?
I think we heard the phone coming out of your bag.
Oh, okay.
And then there you were, loud and clear.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Let's see. Practice is going really well. Meditation's going really well.
Good.
Let's see. I'm actually at a spot in my life where I am not battling with myself all the time. I used to battle with depression, and I'm actually at a calm place in my life, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so I'm more just grateful, like every day just being grateful for life, like my house, like every part of my life.
Everything.
I get
my cup. I love my cup. I'm so glad. I'm so grateful that I have this cup. Here's my chair.
Yeah. And I often think, you know, of others without, and it just makes me grateful just to be here. And I'm grateful for the days that I do have when now that things are calm. It's like I get to be grateful for that. Anyways, that's my practice. That's how it's going. I do have one question. It's about my cousins. And unfortunately, they live very different lives. And my older cousin, she's the mom, and there's a younger cousin, and he's the son. And they're fighting. And
he's what?
The son. It's a mom and a son.
Oh, a mom and a son. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They fight, and recently it's become physical and like emotionally, verbally abusive. He's abusing her now. And I know that they have to work this out themselves, and there's nothing really anyone can do to get involved. Like, I can't say, oh, this is wrong, and get involved in their lives, you know.
But they're not asking for anything.
I just provide as much support as I can, especially to her when she's telling me these things. But the question is, whenever I go over to their house, I'm still, like, you know, supportive, and I give him hugs, and I'm still kind to everyone. But I notice that my heart is less open towards him now than it used to be. And I'm worried about that. And I'm wondering if you have a meditation or some sort of guidance for now that he's abusing her, like, how can I keep my heart open towards him?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's a rough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because what we're not encouraged to consider that I think is really true is that unconditional love. Sorry about this, but unconditional love is unconditional.
Yeah.
Right? And
yes.
And we don't actually know what anybody's path is.
Right.
Yeah. So we struggle when there's something that goes against what happens with us. What we believe or think or that sort of thing. And so it's harder for us to get to an unconditional place under those circumstances.
Right.
But that really is our work, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's what I would encourage you toward. Is just, we talk about this so much. We talk about it all the time, as a matter of fact. The dropping the story.
Right.
And so instead of, you know, each time you go to those thoughts or those pictures come into your mind,
yes.
To just go to that place of, that doesn't matter. I choose unconditional love.
Okay.
Or, I don't know. I don't know, but I choose unconditional love. And that way, it takes you out of the picture and
mm-hmm.
leaves you offering the very best we can ever offer anybody under any circumstances.
Right. I was just wondering if you had it. Whenever I'm over there, I'm not judging. I'm trying not to judge him, and those thoughts aren't present. And I do see him as a victim of ego massively, and I have such compassion for somebody who's there. I can't imagine being there with that kind of ego, and I know it's not his fault. But I was just wondering, do you have a meditation that, I can open my heart again towards him? So it's
I really think, Jenny, if you don't make it about him.
Oh.
Because what you want to do is just open your heart. Now, instead of I choose unconditional love, you could go with something like, I choose to have an open heart.
Okay.
I choose for my heart to stay open or be open. The unconditional love is more general. You know,
yeah.
Kind of covers an open mind and non-judgment and all of those kinds of things. But that, to me, that is the meditation. And do you have a recording and listening practice?
Yes.
Okay. So recordings that say that.
Okay.
Over and over and over. So it's the one where, if I were doing it, I would say into the recorder, I choose unconditional love.
Okay.
Then I would make a little pause so that I would repeat that either aloud or silently. And then I would say into the recorder again, I choose unconditional love.
Okay.
And make that recording for as long as you can stand to sit there and record that. and then just listen to it over and over when you're walking, when you're driving, when you're doing anything that doesn't require you to be attending to something else. And you'll be amazed at how that sustains you even in those difficult circumstances. So something will happen in conditioned mind, and you'll hear inside yourself, I choose unconditional love. And it'll remind you to come back and relax, and that's really the very best thing you can do for these people that you care about.
Okay.
And for you, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Let's know, huh?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Good night.
Good night, thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Jenny. Sherry, one of the things I love about our practice is, and about Zen in general, is making the obvious really clear, in the sense that we talk about unconditional love all the time, that it's easy for me to gloss over the fact that it's unconditional.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It because conditioning is subtle, and ego is tricky. So in a situation like that, it would be easy for me to go to unconditional love for the person who is most obviously one down in the situation, you know, the woman, the mother, and harder to go there with the son because he's not doing it right, you know, he's not meeting the standards, and to remember, as you say, no, unconditional is unconditional. We don't have to meet standards in order to be loved.
Yes,
Go ahead.
Finish your thought.
Interestingly, not that we can do it for this reason, but going in that direction, going to the unconditional, we find it easier to meet even ego standards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm choking here.
Yes, I notice it takes me to a deeper place when I need to find the unconditional love for the, as you say, the person who's one up in the in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing that's clear to me is that when I'm not in unconditional love, I'm sure it's pretty obvious to everyone around me that that's the case.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
For which you're going to be judged, right?
Yes.
That's the whole ego scam. Excuse me. And that's why it's so helpful. Start with it for ourselves, and then it just naturally kind of moves out and includes everyone and everything else. But if we try to start with somebody out there and we're left out of it, then we're positioning ourselves to be had by self-hate.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Sure, your voice is still coming in and out a little bit, and I can still follow you, which is good.
Gosh, okay.
And
well, it's coming
I'm
in
gonna...
and out as I choke, so I'm having a heck of a time tonight. Okay.
Well, we're going to go to our sponsor, so that'll give us a minute or two to get sorted out and Mercury to get out of retrograde.
Right.
And then we'll be in good
whoever
shape.
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
See you in a minute.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. give voice to your heart, and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right, let's see how we do.
Okay, well, you sound good right there, so that's a good start.
All right, good. I changed my apparatus, so we'll see.
Oh, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Renee in Oregon.
Hello, Renee.
Hey.
Hi. Gosh, I just want to say first how happy I am about the New Year's plan and the radio shows every day and the workbook, and it just sounds really exciting. So I'm
good.
In for
I hope
sure.
So. All right. Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. And so I called. I had an insight, so I'm still sort of really aware of how much I need to practice from the New Year's retreat. And I started doing the recording and listening every hour.
Oh, good.
Trying to. At work, I can't always do it, but when I remember after the alarm goes off, I try to do it as soon as I can after that. And, wow, that's a huge change. Just to check in with a mentor and provide unconditional love at that point is pretty much life-changing if I don't do anything else.
Uh-huh.
So
people who don't know about this practice, excuse me, because this is kind of new. So all day long, you set an alarm on the hour or whatever time you set it, right? But
yeah,
about
whatever
an hour
time
apart.
I set it, about an hour apart.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then when the alarm goes off,
yeah.
Go ahead,
uh-huh.
Go ahead. Describe how it
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, then when the alarm goes off, the first recording of the day, I do kind of a two-handed recording, and then after that, I've been doing kind of the left-handed recording because then I just talk to the mentor because I kind of set the day up in the morning like, okay, what am I going to feel here and there, kind of where would I think I would suffer during those different time periods or whatever thoughts are going on at the time related and to anything that might be tied to suffering, and kind of let that out and then let the mentor talk, you know, after that. And
mm-hmm.
then as I check in throughout the day, I'm sort of like, okay, well, how are you doing? You know, and whatever arises, it's something different every time, which surprises me too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here with you, you know, whatever it could be, you're fine, you're doing great, you know, any kind of encouragement or unconditional love or whatever just seems to really just make a huge difference in just how the day goes, you know, how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. So what people report, see if this is true for you, what people report is that they can go through an entire day
mm-hmm.
thinking that they're present or here,
right.
And not just lost in conditioned mind and a lot of negativity.
Yeah.
And so this recording every hour business breaks it up,
mm-hmm.
Helps us see where was I, okay, what kind of conversation was I in, what was I believing, get here, what's going on actually, well,
yep.
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's okay. It's fine. It's good. And so, so the experience of the day goes from, oh, God, what a miserable day of suffering,
right.
which is what we
right.
like to tell people at home when we get home after a day of work, right?
Yeah.
Report on every awful thing that conditioned mind has been telling us all day, only we don't know that's what's happening. We
mm-hmm.
think that's the way our day really was. And this way, we have a completely different experience of what the day is.
Right, right. Yeah, and so today I had a particularly more stressful day where I had to present something to an important group of people. And I was recording and listening about it this morning, and, you know, I was, like, going through the feelings of it and all of this. And what came out of it was it's okay to be however you are. If you're nervous, if you have anxiety, you know, it's if you don't say the exact right thing you're supposed to say, it's all right, you know. And
mm-hmm.
and then the experience went completely different. There were no voices saying you didn't say that right, or or you forgot this, or, you know, or they asked a question you couldn't answer, you know, whatever it might have been. It wasn't there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was really amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So I wanted to report that. And then real quick, I wanted to also, an insight I've had by doing it is it seems like that there's a constant negotiation going on where ego wants one thing and the heart wants something else.
Mm.
And so I, and, you know, the messages in society sometimes are like, well, you can have it all and all these sorts of things. And I think that's not true, because the way it got interpreted by me was, well, you can have what ego wants and you can have what the heart wants. And what I'm seeing is I can't.
Yeah.
Ego can't have it and the heart can't have it. Right.
Yeah, because ego doesn't want the heart.
Right, right.
Right? I mean, they're...
Right.
In,
yeah,
they're in theory,
in
it could happen.
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
in theory, it could happen that they both want the same thing, but in most cases,
well,
they don't.
But what, even more specifically, what I mean is the heart would not be opposed to the ego, but the ego is opposed to the heart. And that's the, that's the breakdown.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for simple things like, okay, if I want to go to yoga one night, you know, well, the heart wants to go and ego doesn't, period.
Right.
You know, that's just what I came to was, okay, that's just what's going on. I decide I want to go to yoga from the heart. Then ego says, no, you should just go home and rest. You know, you should just go home and do something else.
Yeah.
You know,
something
and
not going to take care of you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I just never really saw it that clearly. Like, it was just this I don't know the right word. I don't know if conflict is the right word, but this decision between the two.
Right, because the way we often talk about it, and what you're saying illustrates it perfectly, life is yes, ego is no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it drops in that you'd like to go to yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the heart goes, yes. You know, you can you just feel yourself go, oh, yes. And then ego comes in with, no.
Right.
No.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. You need to go home and rest. You need to sit on the couch.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, of course, after you sit on the couch, self-hate comes in to beat you up for not ever going to yoga, not taking care of yourself. And that can be very confusing to people.
Yeah, or the next time I'm stiff, I'm like, well, you should have gone to yoga.
Exactly.
You know, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. So just in practicing with that, I'm just choosing the heart, you know, despite the resistance, you know, like calling into the radio show or practicing or recording and listening or going to yoga or whatever, or eating something healthy or whatever it is, just knowing that that's what it is. It's just those two things. And
and that you're learning to choose the heart. So if ego wants to go home and rest, good. Ego, go home and rest. I'm going to yoga.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to come along
in the moment.
In fact, I would really prefer that you didn't come along.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Renee, and especially that that description of the recording and listening every hour. That's a powerhouse, isn't it?
It really is.
A life changer.
It is a life changer. It's a yes. It's amazing. Yep. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Me too. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. And Sherry, I've started recording every hour also, and it's great. Brings me right back to here and what I'm doing. It's wonderful.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that information that everything's fine. It's fine. I have a good life. I'm actually enjoying myself. Here, let me look around and tell you what's beautiful around me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just brings us into a whole new world that happens to be the real world.
Yes. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Next caller, are you there? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Okay, let's try the next caller. Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Carol. Nice to talk to you both.
Well, hello, Carol.
Hi. Let's see, one thing that I've been noticing in the past couple weeks of Project Joy and being in the queue was that my experience changed from being really nervous about being on, you know, for most of the call and being distracted to just kind of like, well, I just can't do that. I can't do that for a half an hour every day or I can't do that for a whole 15 minutes or a whole hour of
I need not to do that. It takes too great a toll, really. Oh, I just need to be present.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now I feel my heart's kind of pounding now that I'm on the air, but I'm happy to be on. And I think I'm going to try that recording once an hour. That really sounds like a recording and listening. That really sounds like a really good thing.
Yes, but yes, people are loving it. So anytime I start getting reports that people are responding in the way they're responding, I figure, oh, we're on to something good here. And yeah. and the thing that's so great about it, of course, is what we were talking about a little bit earlier, it breaks up conditioning, ego's voice, saying how our life is. So
yeah.
what we've been doing is listening to a narrative about us and our lives that just simply isn't true. So when we have a chance really to get here, that's what we experience. Well, that's not true. This is not. It's what you got to with the being in the queue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you find that you get present, get out of that conversation, get present, mm-hmm. and go, oh no, I don't want to do that. That's too stressful.
Yeah. So what I've been noticing, well, I was just noticing this today that I was really feeling this process of needing something to look forward to, you know. Well, when I go home tonight, I need something to look forward to, so maybe some kind of dessert. Mm. And that's, I just see that that's pulling me away from the present moment of, you know, what I'm seeing when I'm walking outside. So,
Yes.
Yeah.
So what you're learning to look forward to is now, this here now.
Exactly, right, yeah. And when I look at my life as a whole, I mean, it is terrific. I have so many friends and so many engagements with them, and, you know, there's just so much richness, but there's some kind of greed about, well, every moment has to be full of something splendid. And when ego has that kind of outlook, I can't notice what's splendid about it.
Oh, that's it, isn't it? It's actually talking to you about how you need to look forward to something splendid so you will miss the fact that your life is splendid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And the recording and listening, as you're suspecting, is going to bring you right back to increasing the splendid.
Right, and I notice that in just my regular recording and listening practice, sometimes when I'm speaking as a mentor, you know, and I've listened to what, sometimes the other person talking, sometimes it's half me and half ego, you know. And then sometimes the mentor just kind of ignores it, and, you know, oh, well, how about that tree, you know, do you see the light over there, and look at that deer, you know, just kind of doesn't comment on everything that was said before, but just talks about the present.
Oh, good technique, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, instead of,
well, now, why don't you come back to the present and look to see what's around you? Instead, it's, well, look at that tree. Look at the light on that tree. Mm-hmm. And there's the deer. And pretty soon you're here, and there's been no conversation about what's wrong about where you've been or what you need to be doing instead. You're just here.
Yeah.
Lovely.
This is all good. Thank you so much.
It is all good. And you're going to let me know how you do with the recording every hour, right?
I'll do that. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take good care. Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. Sherry, it's 5 minutes to the hour. I think we could get one more caller in.
Oh, let's try.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Thank you. This is Todd. Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, Todd.
Hey.
Did you make it north?
No, still in Southern California.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Helping out. I know, helping out a friend.
You turn into a Californian if you're not careful.
Yeah, I may have to get a surfboard. anyway, helping out a friend who is going through a lot of physical ailments, actually. So that's it's a great opportunity to bring unconditional love that you just talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my heart really goes out because I've been very fortunate not to suffer many physical ailments, and this person has a whole host of them, and it's really, really limiting her ability to do almost anything at this point. So, So it's a great practice opportunity to see. You know, there's no self and other is what's dropping in.
Mm-hmm.
Heart goes out in the sense that but for the grace of God, that could be me, you know. And I'm
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm so able-bodied that I'm.
That expression there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Right.
We're really well served when we can remember that, aren't we?
Yes, exactly.
And it's really just the, here we go with all the cliches, but, the luck of the draw. It's not, right?
Yeah.
It's not that you made a better choice than she's made. It's just, these are your circumstances and these are her circumstances, and it could be any of us at any time.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, it could be any of us at any time, and what it's really brought to the forefront is not taking anything for granted. Like you're just talking about with the previous call about, I don't know how to exactly describe it, but every moment by moment by moment and just, whatever the content is, the process is, wow, I'm here. I can walk. I can move. Mm-hmm. I can things. And just being so grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not taking it for granted. That's
huge.
The deal, isn't it? It's
really is.
Yeah, because that's what ego lulls us into. Don't pay any attention to all of the goodness, all of the things that are wonderful and beautiful. Just don't pay any attention to those. Focus on that one thing that is wrong. Right, and you may have to go a long time before you can find one, but ego is happy to go there.
It certainly is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what is really amazing, I've been with this person now almost 2 weeks, is her spirits have not yet been affected by this series of medical ailments, even though she's almost bedridden. Wow, and her spirits. I would just be in the depths of despair, and she is lighthearted and upbeat and positive, and we'll get these tests and then we'll see this doctor and maybe this will work out, and I'm just like, wow, I'm just inspired by that.
Uh-huh.
I'm just moved by that she doesn't have that karmic tendency that I do that tends to drag me down with the content.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that interesting, Todd? It's so Sangha, isn't it? I mean, she's going through all of these,
yeah.
We could say, awful circumstances,
totally.
And she's helping you stay upbeat.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That is just amazing. So we're at the top of the hour, and I appreciate getting on and staying in touch.
Awesome.
And I second and third and fourth the great excitement around the new year-long retreat and our new radio show. So I'll be ready to sign up as soon as registration opens. So I'm very excited.
All right. Very good. It's great to hear your voice, Todd.
Thank you, Sherry.
Take care
of
yourself.
Yeah. I will. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. Wow. Not taking it for granted, Sherry. That sounds like it covers the whole deal.
Yeah. I was reviewing Daily Peace quotes that are going to be coming out for the next couple of months, and I'll give it away, okay? Somebody. I won't say who, so it'll be a surprise when people read it, but this person said, when I was 18 years old, I decided I would never have another bad day. And so I've lived in gratitude every day of my life.
Wow.
Okay. Well, there we go. And we can't simultaneously live in gratitude and take things for granted. So those are a good combination. Add recording and listening at least once an hour. and we're set.
Yes,
all right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. Wonderful show. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Take care. Good night.
Take care. Good night.